If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 12, in just a moment we will read the first three verses there. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. If you're watching TV, especially right before Christmas and particularly between Christmas and New Year's, if you're watching any TV, there will be a number of commercials that will be coming on TV involving weight loss and diet programs and memberships to gyms. You may have seen lately a lot of Weight Watchers commercials. I've noticed that in the past week. Or SlimFast commercials. Or there will be gyms around the Nashville area that will put on local ads to come and join those gyms. And the reason they do that is one of the most popular New Year's resolutions is to lose weight and to diet and to be healthier. And so those individuals that are purchasing airtime for commercials know when is the best time to run that. And this morning we're going to talk about weight loss. We're going to talk about the weight of sin. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, "Therefore let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising shame, and hath sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that hath endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that you grow not weary, fainting in your souls." When you consider some of the most popular New Year's resolutions, you must consider the fact that many of them involve losing weight, eating healthier, stop smoking, spend less and save more, try to get out of debt, get more organized, spend more time with the family. And these are the popular types of things that you'll hear about every beginning of the new year. But I want us to consider this morning the importance of the statement in verse 1, "Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." As we begin this new year, we need to think about weight loss, the weight loss that is talked about here in chapter 12 and verse 1, the weight of any sin that might be holding us back in our progress toward heaven. The author here describes our progress in our life going toward heaven as a race, and weight that is holding us down and holding us back, the weight of sin. What about losing the weight of sin? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. If we were to take a tape measure, as we would, and put it around our waist in order to measure our waistline, if we were to take God's word as a measure, what would we measure? If we were to stand on the scales of God's word, what would we weigh? And so we need to consider this morning the importance of laying aside the weight, losing the weight. The only way we're going to cross the finish line of heaven is to lose the weight. In the book of Hebrews, there were indications that these individuals were carrying the weight of sin. The whole book really is a book about Hebrew Christians who are falling away, apostatizing. Apostasy is the theme of the book, falling away. Turn with me to a few of these indications back in chapter 2 and verse 1. The writer says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we drift away from them." Some were drifting. "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." Talking about every sin was punished in Old Testament times. The same is going to be true today, he says. We can't just ignore that. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" In chapter 3, in verse 12, the writer says, "Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief, in falling away from the living God. Falling away really is the theme of the book of Hebrews. That's the main danger. And the specific sin here is unbelief, disobedience. The word unbelief here doesn't mean that they were atheists. These are brethren, verse 12. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus Christ, but they're not obeying His word. And so unbelief in that sense. Look at verse 13. Exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So there are indications of sin and apostasy in the lives of these brethren, and it's going to keep them from running the Christian race. It's going to keep them from crossing the finishing line. In chapter 6, in verse 4, if you'll turn with me there, the writer says, "For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame." And so there were those, verse 1, who were not growing. They were not going forward, they were going backward. And then they fell away. If you'll turn with me to chapter 10 and verse 25, there were some who were forsaking the assembly. You see, there are indications of the weight of sin in the lives of these brethren, and he says you need to lay aside every weight. You need to lose weight. You need to have a weight loss program. In chapter 10 and verse 25, some were forsaking the assembly, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is. So some were doing that. It wasn't hypothetical. It wasn't just academic. There were some who were actually forsaking the assembling, as is the case even today. But exhort one another so much as more as you see the day drawing nigh. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins. And so some were sinning willfully, as is indicated in their absenting themselves from the assembly. And so there are indications of sin in the lives of these individuals. Look at verse 39. We are not of them that shrink back unto perdition. He had in mind some brethren who were going backward and falling away, but of them that are of faith unto the saving of the soul. Some needed to put off the weight of sin. Turn with me to chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. Follow after peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. And so these things are among the brethren. And you think about the kinds of sins that will keep us out of heaven. Verse 16, you certainly think about fornication, sexual immorality. But what about what we might just call simple bitterness? Verse 15, being bitter over something bad that has happened in the past and allowing that to swell up in us and dwell in us and fester in us to the point that we become unfaithful. And so sin was in the lives of individuals. Look at chapter 13 and verse 5. Be free from the love of money, content with such things as you have. Some may have had the problem of covetousness and greed and an undue, unhealthy attitude toward material things, and that was taking them away from trusting in God. And then verse 9, be not carried away with divers and strange teachings, so false doctrine. These are some examples of indications of sins in the lives of individuals, and the solution, the prescription, is to put that off. Lay aside, put aside the weight. We're going to talk about weight loss this morning. Not in a physical realm, although if we need to do that, that would be great, so that our bodies can be used as a temple for the Holy Spirit in service to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2, so that we can better physically serve the Lord. We need to take care of our health. But this morning we're talking about weight loss and getting rid of that sin and the weight that thus so easily beset us. In Hebrews chapter 12, if you'll turn with me there, you'll find three suggestions that are given. First of all, the Hebrew writer says, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Number two, and run with patience the race that is set before us. And number three, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. But we can't do number three, looking to Jesus, unless we lay aside the sin. We can't run with patience, number two, if we don't lay aside the sin. And so it is fundamental and first and foremost that we consider this principle. And the writer of Hebrews had in mind, and the recipients of Hebrews would have known about the Olympic runners. They were doing this even before the time of Christ, what we call the Olympics. They were familiar with Greeks and Romans who entered into the Olympic races, and the Olympic runner would lay aside any garment that would hold him back or weights. They might train with weights on their ankles or on their legs, but they would remove those before running, much like is done today. Because these things are going to impede the progress of the individual. So I want to talk this morning about weight loss, because that is on the minds of many. And while I would encourage physical weight loss in this nation, I am told that 65 million adults are obese and 10 million children are obese. We've heard in the past 10 to 15 to 20 years about childhood obesity. So it's not just something among the adults. And while that would be good for us in our nation to consider those physical kinds of things, what I'm talking about covers much more than that, much more people, not only in our nation, but around the world, the weight of sin. In Hebrews chapter 12, there are two words that are found only once in Scripture, right here in Hebrews chapter 12. The word weight is found one time in the New Testament, right here in Hebrews chapter 12. The Greek word onkos means a bulk or a mass, an encumbrance. And the author is talking about sin that weighs us down and holds us back. It encumbers the individual, even just one. It doesn't take two or three or four or five or several. It's just one. One sin will weigh us down to the point where we do not cross the finishing line. What is it for you? What is it for me? Maybe we do not have that weight, and that is great. But if there is the weight of sin, just one, in our life that we need to remove, we need to do that before it's too late. We will not be able to run the race with it. It is the weight to the soul, a bulk or a mass. The second word that is found only once in the New Testament, right here in verse 1, is the word beset. Euperistatos. The EU prefix means well or good, and then peri, around, and then statos, to stand. Literally, that which is well around us or easily standing around us. We're talking about a sin that just easily encompasses us. Sin that easily encircles or ensnares us. It's there, it's around us, we won't get rid of it. It's easy to have. We take it with us everywhere we go. And it is besetting. Some versions talk about lay aside every weight and the sin that does ensnare us. To encircle, to ensnare, to encompass. Literally, that which stands around. What sin is just standing around in your life or mine, and we will not just get rid of it? We will not put it off. That's the very thing that the Hebrew writer is talking about. That's the weight that we want to consider this morning. What are some of those types of things that we might need to think of? I certainly can't list all of them this morning. We wouldn't have time to talk about every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. But I want to consider a few representatives here this morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Jesus talking about his coming again. He talks about how that is going to take some people by surprise and some are not going to be ready. And so we need to take heed. We need to watch. We need to be watchful. We need to be vigilant. Our lives need to be pure and clean and we need to be vigilant each day. But some will not be that way when the Lord comes again. They're actually going to be weighed down with some things. Look at it, Luke 21, 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest haply your hearts be, now my version says, overcharged. The Greek word there is just simply weighed down or burdened down with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come on you suddenly as a snare. For so shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. But watch at every season, making supplication that you may prevail to escape all these things, that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Burdened and weighed down with surfeiting, some versions have gluttony or excess, drunkenness and cares of this life. So, we've got the things of this life, maybe not necessarily sinful things, but some things are sinful, and we're engaged in that, we're doing that, our mind is on that, and we're weighed down with all of that, and we're not ready for the Lord to come. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. There are statements in the Apostle Paul where he talks about lay aside, put off, put away. What is happening, brethren, is we are keeping something that is holding us back from running that race. Running it properly. Running it well. Running it effectively. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And he mentions some of those involving alcohol, partying, sexual immorality, verse 13. Cast it off. These things weigh us down. They keep us out of heaven. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. It may be something left over from the old man. Some bad habit. Some bad practice. Something that we had with us before our conversion and now it's wanting to creep back into our life. And so the brethren in Ephesus and Colossae are reminded to put off or lay aside or put away the old man and put on the new man. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life, the old man that grows corrupt after the lusts of deceit, lusts, things that deceive us, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. And then look at some of the things to put away. Putting away falsehood. We need to speak truth. We cannot be angry and sin, verse 26. Giving place to the devil, verse 27. Stealing. Corrupt speech, verse 29. Verse 31, bitterness, rancor, anger, clamor, and railing. The arguing, the fussing, fighting with others. Put those things away. It might be things of this world. It might be immorality. It might be that old man, those habits that we had before. Look at chapter 5 and verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as become a saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting. This is talking about speaking in a way that the word literally means that which can easily be turned. We would call it innuendo. So, sins that involve the tongue, attitudes, actions, these types of things are to be put off and put away. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. What we're talking about are weights that are holding us down and back. And we need to have a weight loss program. We need to come to God and His Word and leave these things behind. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication and uncleanness and passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, Christians who are not acting properly. Wherein also you once walked, wherein you lived in these things, but now do you also put them all away? Anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings and have put on the new man. Put off this thing. Why? It's holding us back. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Wherefore put away all filthiness and overflowing, I think the King James says superfluity, flowing super, above and beyond wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. What is it that we need to put away? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, putting away therefore all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies. Stop and look at that. Somebody says, well, I've been keeping a mental note of these things that we've been reading, and I don't commit fornication. And I don't engage in covetousness. And I don't go around telling falsehoods. But look at these things that deal with deceit, where we're not being completely straight and honest with somebody around us. We're saying and doing things to give a little bit different picture of who we are. Look at this. Guile and hypocrisy. We're not completely honest with others and the Lord. We're not completely straight. We're one way in one scenario and we're another way in another scenario. That can be a weight that can hold us down and can be a sin. So putting away, therefore, wickedness and all guile and just hypocrisy. I'm one way when my parents aren't around, and I'm another way when they're around, or the teacher, or the elders, or my spouse, or somebody else. That's hypocrisy. And look at this, envying. Where we see what somebody else has, we wish that they didn't have it, we wish we had it and they didn't have it. And all evil speaking. Well, somebody says, well, you know, I don't lie. Well, that's great. But also in evil speaking is gossip and slander and backbiting and those types of things. So we're going to put that away. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. It may be material in nature. The weight that is sinful to us, that is holding us back, may be material in nature. And we are so much in love with money that we're not taking care of our soul. We're focusing on those material and monetary types of things, and it's drowning us. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9, rather than being content, verse 6, we're going to have the love of money. But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare. What is a snare? That which is going to hold us down and hold us back. We're not going to run that Christian race. And many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. And I think of a man drowning in the water. He's weighed down. He's thrashing with his hands, trying to get up to the surface of the water, and he's being pulled down, weighed down with these things. And Paul says, many foolish and hurtful desires or lusts, such as drown men in destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And then he says in verse 17, that a person be not high-minded nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches. My things, my cars, my house, my boat, my money, my this, and I'm really proud of all of that. And there's nothing wrong with having nice things or even having a hobby, but that's what I'm all about, you see, like the rich farmer in Luke 12, who just took care of all of that, but he didn't take care of his soul. And it ends up just drowning men in perdition. What weight is it for you? It may be something else that's not even on the overhead. But we know what it is. And the Hebrew writer says that it's easily around us. It easily encircles us. We keep it around. And rather than taking it and getting rid of it through prayer, through Bible study, through getting help with faithful brethren, rather than just getting rid of it, we keep it, which does so easily beset us, and it's going to keep us from crossing that finishing line. Somebody says, well, what's the problem? What's the problem with the weight of sin? Well, I can think of three things. And liken it unto physical weight. When a person is overweight, they feel lethargic. We just don't move. We don't want to be active. We don't want to get up and move. If we move, we move slowly. When we have a sin in our life, it's going to weigh us down. Just one. And the first thing it'll do is it'll start making us move slower. We don't want to be active in the church. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're not going to be active working in the church. I want to volunteer for this. I want to volunteer for that, because this sin is keeping us away from spiritual things. So we're less active. And I think about Revelation 3:16. When the church at Laodicea had sin in its members, it was lukewarm. And so we're not going to be on fire for the Lord. That sin is actually going to make me less active. I'm not going to be out talking with others. We talk about personal work, talking with others, because that sin is keeping me from doing those things. It makes me less active, just like weight makes me less active. It will cause us to be lethargic. It will cause us to be lukewarm. People who have too much weight, they're not active. And one of the first things that is encouraged is to get out and walk, get out and exercise. That weight is keeping me from being active. And the weight of sin keeps me from being active in the Lord's church. I'm not engaged as I should. I might be doing the bare minimum, but certainly don't ask me to do anything else. I don't want to be active. And then, when I'm not active, then there's more weight, and it just compounds the problem. And so the weight of one sin makes me less active, and when I'm less active and less spiritual, then here comes another sin and another sin, and it just compounds the problem. That's why I need to lose the weight, because I'm not being active like I should. I'm not always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I can look at my life and I can say, I'm just not active as I should to be spiritually. It's because sin is weighing me down. Number two, I need to lose the weight because it causes us to be sick and have health problems. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. We studied this in this morning's Bible class. As you're turning over to Isaiah chapter 1, you know that when we have more weight than we're supposed to have, it causes health problems. I mean, we don't like to talk about that, but it does. One reputable website mentions the top 10 health-related problems to being overweight. It's not just a matter of I can have extra weight and there won't be any other problems. No, that causes problems. It causes us to be sick and unhealthy. Here are the top 10. High blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol, cancer, infertility, back pain, joint pain, knee pain, skin infections, ulcers, gallstones. When we have more weight than we're supposed to have, there's going to be problems. Other sicknesses, diseases, health issues, we just have to be on board with that. That's the truth of the matter. And the same is with the weight of sin. It's going to cause heart problems. It's going to cause other spiritual problems. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 5, "Why will you be still stricken, that you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and fresh stripes. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with oil." You are sick spiritually from head to toe. And when we have weight on us that we don't need to have, there's going to be other health problems. They're interconnected. And so when we're carrying the weight of sin, there's going to be other spiritual health problems. Our heart is not going to be right. Our mind is not going to be right. Our attitude is not going to be right. And Paul uses that sickness illustration, if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Corinth had church members that were carrying around the weight of sin, and it was causing health, spiritual health issues. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30, "For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep." There's going to be other health problems. When we have the weight of sin, it's going to cause health problems. Number two, it's going to cause us to be lethargic and less active. And number three, it will lead to premature death. And Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. We're talking about spiritual death. So the person who has a physical weight problem, often they die sooner. Their heart is not made to pump that much weight. Their body is not made to carry that much weight, and they die a lot sooner than they would have if they had been what the doctors call, you know, a normal size and weight and height and all of that, body mass index and that type of thing. They die sooner. And we die spiritually when we carry the weight of sin. And so that's why it's so important to lay aside the weight, so that we can be active in the Lord's church, so that we can be healthy in the Lord's church, and so that we can live and not die. As we close this morning then, back to Hebrews chapter 12, let's have a weight loss, the weight of sin, whatever that might be. And as we begin this new year, begin without the weight of sin. And if we need to identify what that is, identify it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is my weight? What is my sin that is weighing me down and ensnaring me? 1 John 3:4, sin is lawlessness. What am I violating in God's word? Sin, 1 John 5:17, is unrighteousness. James 4:17, if I know to do good and do it not, it is sin. What am I omitting? Sin can be something that I'm omitting to do, you see. I've got to identify that. I've got to go see the doctor, as it were, the great physician. I've got to find out what it is and deal with it and be eyes wide open about it, and then begin to do something about it. And that brings me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn with me there. First of all, I have to identify the weight problem. I have to identify what is the sin that is weighing me down. Number two, I have to be intentional about getting rid of it. I have to be real and serious about getting rid of it. Let's look at another illustration where Paul talks about running. in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Know you not that they that run a race, and he's talking to Corinthians, Corinthians who in chapter 11 are weak and sickly. He's reminding them that they need to be running a race, but it has some conditions to it. Number one, you have to be intentional about this race. It's not going to be accidental. Look at what he says. Know you not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Here's the intention. Even so run that you may attain. That's being intentional. I intend to run and win. I'm not just going to accidentally stumble across the goal line there in heaven. I'm not going to just accidentally finish the race. I'm intentional about this. And so number one, run that you may attain. Number two, he says you need to be focused. Look at this. And every man that striveth in the games exerciseth self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. That is a crown of life in heaven. We're not going to receive a literal crown of a garland of leaves or of something like that. Look at verse 26. I therefore so run, not uncertainly, so fight I, not as beating the air, but I buffet my body. In other words, I'm not just going to randomly do this. I'm focused. I'm not just hitting boxing out in the air. I'm focused on what I want to accomplish. And number three, you have to be controlled. I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, or some versions say subjection. I'm controlled, lest by any means after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. I don't finish the race because I'm not controlling myself. And he mentions that back in verse 25, exercising self-control. I've got to be intentional. Run that you may attain. Number two, you're not just out here doing anything and everything, but you're focused on the goal. And number three, you're going to be controlled. And that deals with the weight of sin. As I go throughout this year, each day I get up, I'm running the Christian race. I'm intentional, I'm focused, and I'm in control. And I might have to buffet my body. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. I might have to say no and mean it. And pretty soon you find that, you know, the weight of sin is no longer there. You're not going to just let these things be easily around you. You say no. Just like we might say no, I've tried, I may not be doing a great job, but the past few years I've tried to say no more to sugar and calories and fat and things like that. We got to say no. As much as I would love to say yes, we have to say no, and that's the controlled part. And the weight comes off. And for the non-Christian, those sins have to be washed away in baptism. And so as Ananias told Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, and the weight of sin will go. And for the Christian, we need to repent and pray. Ananias was told to repent and pray. The new Christian there in Acts chapter 8. But lay aside the weight. You know, we hear so much today about Weight Watchers and Slim Fast and Planet Fitness, and those are great things. And we need to be focused on good health. But to get to heaven, we need to be focused on losing the weight of sin. And if we can encourage each other to do that, let us do that. And that's what the Hebrew writer says to do. Then, when you run with patience and when you look to Jesus, it'll be effective. Otherwise, it won't. We're trying to look to Jesus, and here we are carrying this weight of sin. We're trying to run with patience, and here we are lugging this weight. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. So the very first thing, lay aside the weight. And I hope that as we begin this new year, we will do that so that we will be running that Christian race the way God wants it to be run. And when Jesus comes again, we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And like Paul, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me that crown of righteousness. And so we've crossed the finish line. And we get the crown of righteousness. Why? Because we have laid aside the weight. we might encourage you this morning as we stand and sing this song of encouragement to come and lay aside the weight. If it needs to be laid aside in the waters of baptism, come and repent and be baptized. If it needs to be laid aside by coming and let's pray together, let's do that. But let's begin this new year. And what a great way to begin by coming and worshiping the Lord. Let's begin with absolutely no weight whatsoever of sin and keep running each day that way. If we can encourage you along those lines, why won't you come as we stand and sing? I gave